Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Satisfied Customer Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, because we actually got a nice letter from a listener the other day.
A nice letter? Get out!
No, it's true. It's from a guy named Bill in Orlando, Florida, and he's mostly, I guess, complimentary.
Ah, mostly, huh?
All right, well, just hear this.
Go ahead, read.
I listen to your program regularly and value your good advice. Recently, I noticed this sound coming from somewhere outside on the passenger side of the car. I couldn't figure out if it was coming from the front or the back. Then I remembered your advice. You said, when this happens, you get someone to drive the car around the block while you stand there and you listen carefully as the car goes by.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days ago, I put your advice to the test. I saw a guy walking by in the neighborhood. I asked him to help me, and he readily agreed. My only question now is, where's my car?
Another satisfied customer.
Well, the noise is gone, isn't it?
Hey, don't get picky on us, man. We got rid of your noise, didn't we? Anyway, if you have a problem with your car, I'm sure we can solve it, just like we solve Bill's. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anne Marie. I'm calling from Grandview Heights, Ohio.
Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie. Grandview Heights.
It's the best part of Columbus.
Got it.
Columbus.
Grandview Heights.
Got it.
Ohio. What's going on, Anne Marie?
I have a 2002 Saab 9.3 convertible that is making this gigantic loud noise that kind of starts off as a when I turn on the car, and then as I accelerate, it goes
Well, you know what to do? You should stop someone in the street, ask him to drive the car around the block, and you stand there, and you'll know exactly where the noise is coming from.
But I want to keep my car.
Oh, you do.
but don't you want to get rid of the noise? I mean, you might not be able to do both.
Yeah.
So this starts as soon as you start the engine. You don't have to be moving.
No, I don't have to be moving. It just gets louder when I accelerate.
Okay, and that's how long has that been there?
Probably 3 or 4 weeks. And I guess I kind of want to know, is my car going to implode on me? Am I safe driving it?
What kind of a noise is it?
It starts off kind of like a and then it just accelerates and gets louder.
Oh, so as the engine speeds up, the noise gets
louder.
Oh.
So if you didn't rev the engine, you just sat there with the thing in neutral or drive, the noise would not change in intensity or any
pitch.
Right.
Correct.
It's coming from under the hood?
It's definitely coming from under the hood. I thought it was at the back, but I looked and I have all my tailpipes and all of that stuff, so it sounds like the front.
Well, if it's something that changes in intensity with the engine speed, it's probably something that's driven by the engine. And the thing that comes to mind that's most likely on this car is the belt tensioner. There's a belt tensioner that has a ball bearing in it, and it's responsible for keeping the serpentine belt under the proper tension so it can run the air conditioner and the alternator and whatnot.
That belt goes around everything.
Right, and that belt tensioner is doing its job, but its bearing is worn out, and that's why it sounds like a humming noise. I'll make the noise for you. With a little bit of a growl thrown in. How's that? Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
Well, that's about right.
I would get it someplace real soon, because when that tensioner gives up the ghost, you're going to lose your air conditioning and your alternator and all that stuff that is going to make the car impossible to drive.
Is it expensive?
Not yet. No, and I think it's important that you go. And your reluctance to have this checked out is because you're afraid it's going to be a lot of money. Is that true?
Yes, because I want to keep my car a little bit longer because there's nothing I like and I want to move to Paris, but I don't want to buy a new car.
So you're trying to will this noise away.
Exactly.
What a lot of people don't realize is that when you take that approach, the longer you wait, the likelihood is it's going to get more and more expensive rather than less and less expensive.
Okay.
Unless with your car, Tommy, I got to say that you have provided many counterexamples noises that you had went away when those pieces fell off.
Exactly.
So it's possible that the offending piece could fall off, Anne Marie, in which case...
In which case, you won't even think of it anymore.
But I don't think that's likely to happen in your case. But get it checked out, because if you're going to drive it at all this summer, you'll want it reliable, wouldn't you?
It's my only car, so I have to.
When are you going to Paris?
As soon as I figured that out, how to work there. So I have to work on that.
Oh. So you need a job. You speak French, I assume.
A little bit. My dog speaks more French than I do.
Your dog.
Does your dog bite?
No.
My dog.
Would you be taking your dog with you?
I will. He actually was born there.
What kind of a dog is he?
He is a flat-coated retriever.
Oh, those are very nice dogs.
Yes, he's very sweet.
Well, I'm sure he'll have a good time in France, too.
I hope so.
Good luck, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steven. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing good. I just wanted some advice from you guys. I just got married. That actually isn't what I wanted advice about.
Well, you may.
But my new father-in-law gave us, as a wedding present, a 1961 Karmann Ghia that's been sitting in his barn for about 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
Was this your one and only wedding present?
Well,
or did you get a washer dryer, too?
I had expressed interest in it before he did.
Sure.
I'm sure your wife is thrilled about this.
Yeah. She's been really nice about it. I've been very careful about asking her, you know, am I spending too much time with the car? But she's been really nice about it. She wants to drive it too. I think that's why. She doesn't want to do the work.
Does it run yet?
The engine runs, yes. And it runs pretty good, I think. I'm not a VW fanatic yet.
Well, there's no gray area with Volkswagens. Either they run or don't run. If it runs perfectly.
Yeah, it seems to run pretty good.
It's good enough.
If it's making any kind of noise, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're good to go.
Cool. Well, now I just need to get it to stop, as in the brakes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I tried to drive it up and down the driveway a little bit, and I have to cram my foot down as far as possible on the brakes to get it to stop. So I was thinking that I had to probably bleed the brakes and adjust and bleed the brake lines and stuff.
Does the pedal go very close to the floor?
I think it almost gets there, yeah.
And if you pump the brakes, does the pedal come up somewhat or not?
No.
Then it's not air or anything.
Well, it could be air. It could be just out of adjustment.
Okay.
I would start by adjusting them.
All right, cool.
You know how to do that?
He's got the book.
I have the book. I have the How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive. I have that book.
Oh, the John Muir book.
Yes. It's been really helpful.
That was a great book.
It was a great book.
It was apropos to the time. I mean, it appealed to the people who didn't have the money to have their car fixed by someone else, and it was for a car that was fixable by the average person.
Yeah.
You didn't need very many. And in fact, the beauty of Volkswagens is they really had like 11 moving parts. You know, so it didn't take much.
And they didn't move much.
That's great.
But I would try adjusting them by turning the little star wheels, and there are two for each wheel.
Yeah, I found those.
Yeah.
The other thing I looked for was the nut with the nipple on it.
The bleeder valve.
Right. And I noticed that one of them didn't have, it was broken off. Like I could see the little piece of the bolt sticking out of the wheel cylinder. And do you guys have any tricks maybe that I could get that out without?
You will never, ever get that out.
Ugh.
Never.
You'll have to rely on one.
Well, you'll replace the wheel cylinder.
Okay.
You know, and that's probably a good thing to do. As a matter of fact, before you actually took it out and drove it any distance, it wouldn't be a bad idea to pull all four drums off and find out how badly the brake system is leaking.
Okay.
Because it's entirely possible that in the last, you know, I don't know, maybe 35 years or so, that you've developed some small fluid leaks.
Uh-huh.
If it's been sitting for 20 years, I would probably replace all four wheel cylinders.
Okay.
It's not terribly expensive if you can find them.
Right.
If you can find them, they're probably $20 a piece.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's some company out in California. I can't remember the name. I found them on the internet.
But you know what street they're on?
They're probably on La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles. But I don't remember exactly where they are. But they have a ton of Volkswagen parts.
Okay.
Yeah, and they certainly would have wheel cylinders for this thing.
Yeah,
but this is this is a fun car.
It's very cute. I fell in love with it the moment I saw it. And then I opened the engine compartment, and there's like four pieces.
Now tell us the truth, because I'm sure your wife doesn't listen. Did you fall in love with the car first or her?
Her, definitely.
Her, definitely. But had you seen the car?
No.
You're sure?
Yes. Very sure.
All right.
I had to, it, it I heard rumors after we got engaged.
Well, I know you're in love with the car, but just to give you a piece of advice, make sure you spend more time with her.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
Good luck, Stephen.
Good luck, Stephen.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Glenn calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Well, I wanted to get a second opinion on something.
Yeah.
See if it's necessary for me to get rid of my car to improve my chances with women.
Really?
Ah, wow. We are experts at this.
Well, I'm hoping.
I'm gonna tell you that my brother's driving an MG and a Fiat, so those are two cars you definitely want to cross off the list.
Well, I've had several females advise me that this would be a good move, and I just don't quite buy it.
Yeah.
I've got a 1991 Honda CRX. And if you guys remember those, I've got the HF model.
Oh, the high
I
fuel.
I remember it.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the high mileage car of its day, and as near as I can tell, it's still the high mileage car of the
day. Yeah, it gets like 50 miles to the gallon or something.
I'm still getting that. I've got almost 250,000 miles on this thing.
Really?
And I'm still on highway trips. I'm checking it regularly. I'm still getting around 50 miles.
Okay, now right before you go another step, that car right away categorizes you as a cheapskate.
Hey, that's what they say.
They're right.
Well, you know, but look at the times we're in. Everybody's claiming they want to go green, right?
Oh, yeah.
How could you be any greener than driving a car with 200?
No, no. I think some of the women that you might be interested in, they want to go green, but they want it to be the green you carry around in your wallet.
Well, all right. Yeah, well, yeah. You may have a good point there. But I just figured with that kind of mileage, a car that's well-maintained, now it's not cosmetically anything to brag about, but... This one friend of mine, who I really value her opinion, she claimed she tried to fix me up with a woman who got turned off when she saw my car in the driveway. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't get to square one.
Oh.
How many miles are on you, Glenn? Because, if Brad Pitt were driving the CRX, I don't think he'd have any problems.
Oh, now you're hurting me. No. Okay.
No, it may be a combination of you and the car, so we want to find out, because if there's more...
You're not as old as the car, are you?
Well, I'm 55.
Oh, you're a young guy.
Oh, thanks, guys.
You're younger than us, anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. But I tell you, the first story, I would have blown that off. I said she didn't even give me a chance. But then my other friend, whose opinion I value, claimed that when I took her for a ride, and she was a little put off by this thing. I guess the... She said I had to move all the debris off the front seat to put it in the hatch.
Oh, so is the car a mess?
Well, sometimes. But it said the windshield was cracked, but it passes inspection, so I don't tend to worry about things like that.
Yeah.
The maintenance on it's great.
Well, you know, you take this two ways. One is there are certain women that this is going to turn off. But those might not be the women you want.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking.
Exactly. And when you find a woman who's willing to put up with all your nonsense, she's the one.
Looks like I'm going to keep looking. But, you know, what are you going to replace this thing with? I looked at, the Cooper and the Prius.
I think what you might want to do is keep this car, but spiff it up.
Yeah.
Have it detailed, chase the rodents that are living in it out.
Well, that's
what
she suggested, a detail job.
Yeah. get it cleaned up.
That's better than getting rid of it, because it's a great car.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I got this thing used. I only paid $6,500 for it.
Okay, now how's your wardrobe? What's your wardrobe like, Glenn? I mean, I hate to get personal here, but all these things factor in, you know.
The wardrobe may need a bit spiffing up also, come to think of it. But you don't really want to get into that, do you?
Well, do you have anything besides jeans that you wear for pants?
Oh, yeah. I do a little better than that, but not often.
Not often?
Yeah.
Do you usually wear pants?
Well, no. I don't know. There are some other problems, but... I was just going to focus on the car for today.
Well, I think, I don't think you should try to bite off too much. I think you're right. Focus on the car and get that. But what really matters, Glenn, is you. When you distill it all down, the car and what you're wearing for clothes and how much hair you have, none of that matters as much as Glenn.
There you go.
And it sounds like you're a heck of a good guy, and I think you're going to find someone. And if that person is that shallow that she can't see beyond the car.
Well, careful. She might be listening.
Well, she might be, but it'll help her make up her mind. If that person has to, if the car is going to be the determinant, then you don't want her.
Okay.
You want Glenn to be the determinant.
Hey, I'm walking taller already.
All right.
But it wouldn't hurt to shave and get a haircut.
Okay. I'll take that advice, too.
All right. See?
And send me your address, Glenn, and I'll send you a couple of ex-wives.
Okay. No thanks.
See you later.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, anyway. Hey, look, I know you don't remember last week's puzzler.
No,
do you?
I don't. You got a problem with that or what?
No, if I did, I would have dumped you from the show like 20 years ago. But I'll give you a hint and see if I can jog your memory.
Okay, hint away, man.
All right. You remember Rick? Round up the usual suspects? Here's looking at you, kid.
What, you mean Casablanca? Huh? Humphrey Bogart, yeah. Ingrid Bergman, Paul Henreid, Claude Rains? Dooley Wilson as Sam, released in 1942, directed by Michael Curtiz, written by Julius and Philip Epstein and Howard Koch, based on a play by Murray Burnett and Joan Allison called Everybody Comes to Rick's. That the one you mean?
Very good! But do you remember the puzzler?
No idea. No idea at all.
That was pretty impressive. Anyway, it was about a pilgrimage that started in Casablanca, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Now, I'm a nice guy, seldom fuss, and even when I'm mad, I hardly ever cuss, but something here lately is breaking me out in hives. When people are supposed to be driving the car, they're talking on the phone, and that's going too far. I wish they'd all learn to just hang up and drive. Now, it ain't cause I don't have one myself. I got a cute one lying right here on the shelf, but you won't see me talking while I'm out there trying to drive. Like everybody else, I got a one-track mind, and I'm afraid I might hit somebody from behind, and I feel a lot safer when I just hang up and drive.
Hang up and drive, mister, or you're gonna have an accident. Hang up and drive, sister, or your insurance money's all spent.
And even though nudist colonies approve the temporary use of earmuffs whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us. Click and clack.
You used to say, ha, we're back.
Now
you say hi?
No. I don't say hi at this juncture. It's when we come back for the third half of the show.
Did you say ha?
Yeah.
Oh, now it's hi.
All right, I'll do ha. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us. Click and clack the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I still don't remember.
I know. Don't worry. We're getting there, man.
Yeah.
This was sent in by a young lady named Sarah Zimmerman. Age 13, and I had to obnobulate it a little bit, but not much, and she did a pretty good job, I think, and here it is. A pilgrim needs to make a journey on foot between Casablanca and Marrakesh. He's delivering movies from Casablanca to the Marrakesh multiplex. Anyway, it's an arduous and dangerous trip at best, and it takes 6 days on foot. But the most a traveler can carry for food and water is 4 days' worth.
Yes, I remember it now.
The question was simply this. What's the minimum number of people who would have to start out together, all of them carrying 4 days' worth of food and water, so that one of them could make it all the way to Marrakesh from Casablanca? And by the way, the others who start out along with our pilgrim have to make it back to safety, too. None of them can die.
Yeah.
And the answer.
I get it.
You got the question?
Yeah, it's four people.
So close. It's three.
You can do it with three.
If three people start out together,
uh-huh.
Let's say person number one is the one we're trying to get to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
Day one, three people start out together.
Yeah.
That day, each of them eats the food that person number three is carrying. Okay?
Person number one
eats none of his own food.
Right.
Person number two eats none of his.
Yeah.
They eat, all three of them eat 3 days' worth of person number three's food.
Right.
They go to sleep. The next morning, person number three has to turn back to Casablanca. He has 1 day worth of food and water left and 1 day's journey back. If he doesn't leave, the buzzards get him.
Right.
Day two begins. Person number one and two continue their trip, and they eat person number two's food. They eat half of it.
Right.
Right? Leaving person number two with 2 days' worth of food and water left.
Just enough to get back.
He's 2 days away. He can just make it before the buzzers get him. Person number one hasn't touched any of his food and water. How much of a trip does he have left to get to Marrakesh? 4 days, and he has all of his food and water left. So three people can do it, and nobody gets hoit.
Isn't that
cute, eh?
Good.
So we have a winner?
Yeah. The winner this week is Dave Woodwell from Las Cruces, New Mexico, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, which was two. Dave gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our summer Car Talk baseball cap. Perfect for those bad hair days, or in my brother's case, no hair days.
I do have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car that you think we might be able to answer, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. I'm sorry, you can ask a question that you know we can't answer to. It's quite all right.
Sure. Most people do.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Glenn from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Glenn from Portland. What's up?
Portland.
Well, here's the thing. I had a great adventure a few weeks ago. I went and I climbed Mount Adams, which is about a little over 12,000-foot peak here, and I'd never done this kind of thing before.
Oh.
It was great.
Wow, that's a lot, 12,000 feet.
Yeah, I was pretty tired.
What were your other options that weekend? I mean, I was just curious.
Work on my kitchen, you know, that was the other option, so I had to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, so I'm driving my Toyota V6, four-wheel drive, extra cab pickup, and I had four people in the vehicle, and yeah. I got $140,000 on the car, but only about $12,000 on the engine.
Okay.
Okay. About the last 4 miles of this road were really rough. I mean, this is like, you know...
Wait, when you said you climbed Mount Adams, did you mean in the truck?
Yeah, right. You drive to about 5,000 feet.
You drove?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You drive to about 5,000 feet. So about the last 4 miles of that was a really rough road. Like, cars could make it, but barely. Well, the thing is, I really like these kind of roads, so I drove about as fast as my passengers would allow me, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And after about a mile, I smell that memory smell from driving old Volkswagens and MGs, gasoline.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. So I pull over, pop the hood, but, you know, this car's got so much junk under the hood, I couldn't see a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked underneath the car, and there was a puddle the size of maybe a tuna fish can.
Of gasoline?
Gasoline, yes. Mm. So I go, oh, no. So I look up, and there I can see the side of my transmission has gas running down it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it running down across, like, where the head is bolted to the block, and I can see it actually boiling. And then I hear that as it's dripping onto the heat shield of the exhaust manifold.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
It's leaking from the fuel filter, probably.
Huh. Well, it gets worse, though. It gets weirder. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? We're too tired to walk anywhere. It's about 10 miles to the nearest town.
And don't tell me. I know exactly. And it's possible that this is gasoline, a volatile, explosive material.
Right.
So there's only one thing we can do. Keep driving.
Right. Well, I have a fire extinguisher.
Good enough.
I handed my fire extinguisher to my wife, and I said, hold this and keep it ready, which didn't make my passengers feel any better.
And I'm going to keep driving, right?
I'm going to keep driving. So I drove to the nearest town. Because we had a place to stay if we would have got there, because my wife has family in that town.
Yeah, and obviously, you concluded correctly that if it hadn't already blown up, it probably wasn't going to blow up.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I thought that far ahead.
No, you should have. You should have been thinking about that.
But your wife went along with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
You know, they don't think I know a lot about cars, so what else are they going to do?
Right, yeah, you didn't know it wasn't going to blow up. You just figured if it blows, it blows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right. Anyway.
I gave you too much credit.
Of course you gave him credit for thinking it through, and he didn't think it through. He was just being a guy.
Right.
So,
he was a wacko.
That's okay. So go ahead. You continue to drive.
Okay.
Come on, try to give us like the Reader's Digest version of this, will you?
Okay.
We haven't got all day here.
All right. I get down to the ranger station about 10 miles away. I stop, check everything out. No leaks. Nothing.
Mm.
I've been driving it now probably 2-3 times a week since then. No leaks. I call the dealer. What should I do about this? They say, oh, it's very dangerous. You need to bring it in and have it looked at. And I said, well, what would you look at? You just better bring it in. Of course, they're not going to tell me where I should look.
Yeah, no, you should bring it because it's going to happen. If it was leaking that badly, Mm-hmm. It's going to start leaking again when you're in even a worse place than the halfway up a mountain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So worse. And it's very possible that they will simply find something loose.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my guess. And that when you drove over this rough road, mm-hmm. you may have banged a few things into that gas line. You know.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, that's very
and
possible.
And in doing so, you may have loosened it, and it may have, who knows? I mean, and it doesn't take a very much of a pull on that metal line, perhaps, to get the thing to leak. In fact, you know what you could have done? It could be cracked someplace.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be cracked, and now it's gone back into place. And I would certainly...
From your reckless driving, by
yes,
the way.
Yes. Yeah.
So don't tell your wife, and we won't either.
No. I would take it into somebody. It doesn't have to be the Toyota dealer, but I would take it into someone, have it put up on the lift, and while the engine is running, have somebody yank on all the lines and see if they can force the thing to leak. Because those lines, no matter what you do to them, shouldn't leak. So if you have a cracked line or a loose line, it should show up.
Okay.
And the most likely place is probably where the fuel line runs from the tank to the gas filter.
Okay, that makes sense, because that's about where I think it's coming from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and don't smoke when you're driving anyway.
I don't smoke.
Good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Still fascinated by his ability to convince his wife, here, hon, you hold the fire extinguisher. I'll continue to drive.
Yeah, my wife, under no circumstances, if there was any danger.
Don't forget what he's saying. If anything happens, like it bursts into flame, I will pull over. You have the fire extinguisher.
Right.
So you will jump out of the truck. I'll stay here in the cabin. You open the hood and you put out the fire with the fire extinguisher. Good luck.
Well, see, his wife seems to be cut from a different cloth.
Because she also climbed the mountain,
yeah,
didn't she?
Would your wife climb the mountain? No.
Do they drive Mercedes up there?
Dig that hole deeper and deeper. Just keep digging, man. I love it. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Gina. I'm calling from Spring Park, Minnesota.
Gina?
Yes.
Okay.
Spring Park, Minnesota.
Right. I'm basically on an elongated island peninsula on Lake Minnetonka.
Is that where they make the little toy trucks?
Yeah.
Mini Tonkas?
Mini Tonkas?
Yeah.
No, but Toro's down the street.
Toro?
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh. Listen, I had a very interesting thing happen to me Friday the 13th.
Really?
Yeah, I was like tooling on my way to work with like payroll for two stores in the front seat of the car.
Yeah.
Put my visor down, and I had probably one of the largest, whitest, biggest lobster-like spiders I've ever seen in my life fall off my visor, hang in front of my face, and I'm thinking, oh, explicative.
Yeah.
A spider.
Wouldn't that scare the bed?
Well,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
So I'm, like, moving it on its little web over to the window.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, like, on the edge of the road. I've got a policeman behind me, a couple of other cars. And, okay, rear tire's on the edge of the road, and I think what happened is that my tire blew. I got pulled off the road. Basically, the way the bank embankment is, it's like an 85-degree pitch.
Yeah.
Along the lake, below the road. I ended up, like, going, I'd say, 180 to 250 feet along the embankment in my Lumina.
Yeah.
Went through somebody's stairs to their dock, a street sign. For no parking, all the while wondering if the spider's still in my car and thinking, oh, my God, going in the lake.
I don't care if I go in the lake as long as the spider doesn't go in with me.
Oh, God, so, you know, here I, like, plowed through 40 to 60 small trees, shrubbery.
No kidding.
Ended up on a sandbar. With, like, 3 feet behind me was a 20-foot drop-off in the lake where they've been taking people out in body bags, which is what the cop said.
Did the cop at least pull over and ask you how things were going?
Oh, he pulled over, wanted to know if I was okay, and I'm sitting here frantically trying to think, how am I going to get my stuff out of the car before it sinks and retrieve payroll? So, you know, I got out of the car. I stepped out into water that really did not even come up to my knee. You could still see the bumper, still see the license plate, could read my bumper stickers, you know, for driving the Marine Highway in Alaska. And they're totaling my car. I wanted to know, A, do you think my car committed suicide? Or are they just saying that the car committed suicide and I actually have to accept the fact that they think that I'm going to have more, like, computer problems than I could ever possibly have? I mean, I went through more water damage last year during the pseudo-tornado we had with water being thrown up off the lake along the same road.
Oh, so they're totaling your car because they think it got drowned.
Right.
How much are they going to give you for it?
Honestly, I think it's low, $67.76.
Take the money and run.
Really?
Oh, don't look back.
They're going to give you $6,700
yeah.
for this piece of junk?
Now, wait a minute here.
It almost killed you.
Oh,
and
take
God
the money.
Knows, God knows how many spider eggs are in that thing.
Oh, God.
Oh,
thanks.
Man.
Thank you so
they
much.
They love moisture, too. They love that dampness.
Well, it's
there'll be 100 of those spiders. Every time you put down that visor, 5 more will fall in your lap.
Okay.
I mean, I can see it now. They fix the thing all up. You go to pick it up.
Right.
You obviously, the first thing you do is get in and you flip down the visor. No spider.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And you think everything's okay. You even flip down the other visor. The thing's all been painted and restored. Everything's perfect.
And then some dark night, you're driving along that very road.
And you,
oh,
and you feel
and
a little,
someone
put
you
feel
on
itch.
High beams.
You feel an itch on your leg.
Oh, man. In fact, you'll feel itches on your legs for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where you are.
If they'll give you $6,700.
Give them $6,700.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Tell them to keep it, and you'll send them a check every month.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you.
Oh.
I'm looking at used Suburbans. What do you think of Suburbans?
Suburbans are big.
Well, they're a lot harder to sink.
Okay.
They're big.
Yeah.
You like big, huh?
I do mountain driving, a lot of mountain driving.
Yeah, but you got to get over this thing with the spiders. I mean, geez, you could have killed somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I could have killed
including people. Yourself.
So, what did you think?
That's not my day today.
What did you think the spider was going to do to you?
Land in my lap.
Yeah, then?
That's all it takes, man. You know what happened? One time I always drive a convertible if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I never put the top up if I don't have to. And I never have to because the cars I drive, they get wet. Who cares? So the top is always down. So I was parked in my driveway one day, and I sometimes wear a hat to protect my coif.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, my hair is one of my biggest, best assets.
Yeah. Biggest. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want my hair to get mussed up when I'm driving with the top down. So I always have a baseball hat laying on the seat. So I'm driving someplace one day, and I didn't have the hat on, so I picked up the hat. And I put it on my head. It had been sitting on the seat when the car was parked under a tree.
Oh, no.
And some kind of a monstrous beetle or bee or something was in the hat.
A beetle in your bonnet.
A beetle in my... So I put the hat on. I'm driving along in traffic at about 65 or 70. And I feel something crawling in my head. Man alive. I almost...
I whip off the hat,
and there's this thing up there. How I didn't kill myself, I don't know. So I empathize with the spider thing, because this thing was in my hair.
In my hair.
And it's still in there.
Oh, no.
We've been looking for it for 2 years.
But back to your real question, Gina. I don't like the Suburban for the mountain roads that you talk about.
Okay.
It's too high, it's not well sprung, it tilts over, and I wouldn't want to be driving it around curvy mountain roads.
So what do you suggest?
I would get something lower.
You need a nice Subaru Outback.
Yeah.
Really?
And the Subaru is all-wheel drive, it's low to the ground. I like it a lot better, and you can get a wagon, they're pretty big.
Oh, thank you. I hadn't even thought
yeah,
of
but
the
don't
of
do the Suburban thing. It's too big and unwieldy.
Okay.
Dangerous for you.
See you, Gina.
We need all
thank
the listeners
so
we
much.
Can get.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you later.
So long.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy is right.
Okay, look, before we get to this week's brand new puzzler, we're going to pause here.
Is this where we give our stations a chance to identify themselves, perhaps?
Well, no. This is where we give them a chance to look around and see if there's anything better they can put up with the air for the next 20 minutes. And if they don't find anything, we'll be here.
Crawling on the beltway.
And even though road paving crews throw their radios under the grader whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back.
Don't you usually say, hi, we're back?
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yes.
And this was sent in, actually, rather recently.
Wow.
In May. Wow. It was sent in by someone named Wade Satterfield from, I don't know where he's from, but here it is. And I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, wait, before I say thank you, Wade, because this may not be a thank you situation.
Here it is. It was an early fall evening when my wife drove our 94 Explorer. About three blocks from home, it started making a great screaming noise with smoke coming out from under the hood. My wife turned off the car and, of course, called me for help. I was home in my jammies, but I got in my car nonetheless and drove over there. And being the guy, I was obliged to open the hood, and I tried to look for something wrong, even though it was dark. It was a dark and stormy night. On a hunch, I reached in and...
He had to look into the inky shadows under
the
hood?
Well, he did indeed. On a hunch, he says, I reached in and touched something that should have been cool and instead got a second-degree burn. Instead of touching something cool, I got a second-degree burn on my finger.
Ooh.
Wounded and whimpering, I walked home while my wife continued her trip in my car, leaving the Explorer.
Yeah.
Smoking, smoldering and by the roadside. After getting ice on my finger and fainting and regaining consciousness and all that, the pain subsided enough that I could think straight. I walked back to the Explorer. I adjusted something on the dashboard, started the engine, and drove home with no problems. What did I do, and what was wrong with the car? Now, if you think you know the answer...
Excellent.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. What happened to the mahogany, the Louis XIV mahogany desk with Carpathian elm burl? I mean, what happened? That was stinking post... FCC, huh?
Write it on the back of a Rolex watch.
Exactly. Or better still, write it on the back of two Rolex watches. Or a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now and you can't wait for a wrong answer, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alicia calling from Dayton, Ohio.
A-L-I-C-I-A?
That's right.
Wow.
From Dayton?
Well, I just moved to Dayton.
From where?
From Miami.
What the hell did you do that for?
my boyfriend and I, we graduated from medical school, and I'm starting my residency at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio.
So this is where they stuck you, assigned you?
Yes, that's right. They assigned me
here.
Oh,
man.
Well, it'll make you appreciate Florida all that much more. But anyway, what can we do for you, Alicia?
Well, I'm calling actually about my boyfriend's car. He has a 98 Mercury Mystique with about 150,000 miles on it. And about within the last 6 months or so, his check engine light has been coming on, and it's been on for 4 years, solid, and he never fixed that.
No, he was in medical school. How could he fix it?
I know, exactly. And in the last 6 months or so, it started flashing, and it seems to be flashing whenever we're accelerating, and especially at low RPM, and the car will start to, like, lurch.
So is this car now your car, too?
Well, it's kind of like our reliable car.
I mean, you couldn't have found a boyfriend with a newer car?
Oh, well, he's a great boyfriend. So, you know, the car is kind of secondary.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
Oh. Yeah.
It always went the other way for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I drive a Mustang, and it doesn't have much space. And, you know, I'm hoping that we'll have a better car when I'm driving in the snow up here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Mystique will be better than the Mustang for sure.
Yeah.
What does it mean for me? I mean, I always had a real dump of a car. I must have been very, very attractive.
Yeah, because girls are not with you in spite of your car.
No one ever wanted to get in my car.
I'm sure it's your shining personality.
Exactly. Your shined-up personality.
Shined up. Okay.
Well, anyway, it seems like this thing has an engine miss, and I'm willing to bet, just a wild guess, that if you took it someplace and they put a scanner on it,
mm-hmm.
they might detect that it had an engine miss.
Okay.
And it might be pretty easy to fix. The fact that it's been on for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
It might have 20 things wrong with it because it only can come on once.
Right.
Well, now that it's flashing, I mean, it's not telling you that it's more urgent. I think it's flashing because there's maybe a bad connection or you've started to burn out the computer.
And what do you mean by an engine miss?
Well, the engine is not firing properly on all cylinders. You know, it's I don't know if this is a four-cylinder or a six-cylinder.
It's
but
a six-cylinder.
It's a six-cylinder. And one of the cylinders isn't firing when it's supposed to. You know, every time the piston comes up at the end of a power stroke, the spark plug is supposed to fire and ignite the gasoline and air mixture. If that spark plug doesn't fire at the right time or doesn't fire at all, then the engine will run roughly.
Oh.
And it'll run worse when you're trying to accelerate. For example, if you were trying to climb a hill with an engine miss, you might notice the engine going boom, 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 boom. Like it was
right.
Coughing and sputtering.
That's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
And is this dangerous?
It isn't dangerous.
It's dangerous only in that the car could break down in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, you're not really going anyplace with it, right?
No, not really.
Yeah, you're too busy.
Right.
Right?
Well,
so,
I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, the scanner is not going to cost you a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll at least be able to tell you what it is.
Okay.
And then
if it's something simple like spark plugs, you know, for $20, you'll buy a spark plug and stick it in.
Yeah, you
okay.
can buy one at a time. But
yeah.
They'll probably want to sell you a whole tune-up, which could be $300 or $400.
Okay.
It has been 4 years at least.
Right.
Since it's been looked at. Has he opened the hood at least?
His dad does.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of doctor is he going to be? This
emergency medicine.
Yeah. I think that might be this might be a good start for him. I think he might learn a lot about the triage method by working on this car.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll encourage him to do it. I take pretty good care of my car, so I kind of push him in that direction, but I don't really get very far.
What are you all going to be?
OBGYN.
Cool.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
Good luck. Study hard. Work hard. And if you make it, give us a call.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
See you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Greg from Chicago.
Hey, Greg.
Greg.
What's going on? Long time no see. What's happening?
We have a 97 Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife saw a string hanging out of the tailpipe.
Hmm.
She thought, that's not good. So she went to pull the string out, and she just kept pulling.
Uh-huh.
And it kept coming. She said it was over a meter long, probably close to 2 meters long.
Well, you know, when we had a cat.
we had a cat too.
For years and years, we had a cat named Doug.
Yeah.
Doug happens to be the name of our producer, Doug Berman. And when we got the cat.
The cat was as much trouble as our producer.
A little less, actually. But our young son, Andrew, named him Doug.
Right.
And Doug had the unusual habit of, when we had hung the tinsel on the Christmas tree, of eating the tinsel. And he would very often have something coming out of his tailpipe that was a meter long. And you'd see something hanging out, and you'd say, what's this? And you'd start pulling on it, and you'd hear Doug go, rawr. It was always pretty exciting. I'm not suggesting that your car ate any tinsel, but there is sound-deadening material in your muffler.
Yeah.
And some cars have stuff that looks like hair. And it may be that what's in your Jetta looks like string. And unless you think there was some neighborhood kid who's playing a prank on you, I'm going to suggest that it's coming from inside the muffler.
But what would it be inside the muffler?
Do we need
a new muffler?
Yeah. No, it's the sound-deadening material that makes the muffler muffle the noise. And there's a lot more of it in there, probably.
Well, I mean, it's not a dangerous thing. And you could just forget about it.
Yeah,
well, that's easy to do.
It hasn't affected the performance of the car, right?
No.
Yeah, as long as it continues to come out in a small batch like that.
So it hasn't happened again? I mean, it's just that one time?
Well, she hasn't driven it since then.
Did she ask the guys at the shop what it was?
No, we haven't been to the shop.
You haven't been to the shop, so you tried us first, huh?
Yeah, we thought that was a wise choice.
Oh.
You thought, huh?
You know why? It was cheap.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be too worried about it, but it may be just an indication of more to come.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I mean, I'd wait until it got worse.
Well, then we'll wait.
Yeah, yeah, maybe you'll get enough string coming out to tie your Christmas tree on the roof next December. Good luck, but don't worry about it.
All right, thank you.
See you later, Greg.
We'll talk later.
All right, bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8.
Do people appreciate advice that you give free of charge? I mean, if he had paid for this advice, he'd probably really believe it.
Oh, I think
by not paying for it, does he believe it less?
Oh, I think paying for advice lends credibility to the advice.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Should we start charging?
So does the obverse take place as well? Not paying for it reduces credibility?
Absolutely.
Well, what are we wasting our time for?
Because they're paying us.
No one's paying us.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ellen calling from Boston. Can you hear me?
Ellen! Yes, of course we can hear you.
Hi.
Boston. Actual Boston, Boston.
Just across the river from Car Talk Plaza.
No kidding.
Yes. Well, I'm calling with a moral, ethical, legal question I really need your help with.
Oh, I think we may have to excuse ourselves.
I have a Honda Civic. It's a four-door sedan, and it's red. And it seems to have a curse on it. It's been in three crashes. Mm. It's been vandalized 9 times.
Ooh.
A tree fell on it. It's been stolen and unfortunately returned. And then there was the time that I thought it was vandalized and brought it into the body shop for what I hope was a small repair. And the forensics expert at my body shop told me that, in fact, a couple of kids had had a fight on it. And he could determine that because the dents were not angled as they would have been if it had been smacked with a crowbar. They were rounded as if a body had been shoved into it.
Like someone's head had been smacked. Wow.
Wow.
Clearly the car, you know, it's bad karma, pardon the expression.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to get rid of it. I'm just tired of having major car problems and having to spend $500 of my deductible on getting it fixed.
Yeah.
And I need to know, here's the moral question, how much do I have to disclose about all these things to prospective buyers?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. No, because... And you gave us... this is going to be good. You gave us the reason yourself. Because all these things that have happened to the car don't necessarily have anything to do with the car, but they really have to do with the fact that you and the car are incompatible.
So is what you're saying that it's possible that the curse is on me and not the
car?
No,
the curse is on... It's just like...
The union. The union of you and the car.
You know, you can take two perfectly nice people and they get married and horrible things happen only because... Not that each of them individually is an evil person, but that the union is wrong. Bad karma. And so all of these things that have happened to the car may not happen ever again.
Well, what if they ask? Has the car been in a crash?
Well, there is a way out of that. You can hire an agent to sell your car. This is why when you go to look at a house that's for sale, the owner is never there.
No.
And the real estate agent answers to...
Does it have any termites?
I don't know. They didn't say anything.
Gee, I don't think so.
Yeah. And, of course, they don't ask the seller any of these questions because they don't want to know. So you could hire a real estate agent to sell your car. They're good at non-disclosure.
Based on what you're telling me, what I really need to do is divorce this car.
I think you have to disclose. I mean,
okay, but if I disclose, would you buy this car if I told you all these terrible things that happened to it? I mean, this happens.
No, but my brother would.
This happens in the city. It happens in the suburbs. It happens on vacation. Wherever I take this car, bad things happen to
it. Yeah, well, I mean.
No, and anyone that looks at it is going to figure it's you. Maybe you can dress in a manner.
That's comforting.
Maybe you can dress up in a manner that would make them think for sure.
That's what a brilliant strategy.
Okay, so what should I wear?
I'm trying to think.
Well, we'll send you pictures of my sister. I mean, you got to go to one of these wacko, out in left field hippie joints.
Okay.
Where you buy used clothing.
Yeah, you got to wear some beads.
Yeah, beads.
You got to wear patchouli.
A long dress.
Patchouli perfume.
Yeah.
You hear that?
And a great big piece.
And have your hair hanging way down.
And don't bathe for like 4 or 5 days. And
And then people will say, phew, it's clearly not the car. It's this wacko Ellen.
I think that's the method I would use.
You've got to deflect.
Full disclosure. In fact, make stuff up. Tell them that you and the car. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You and the car were taken away by an alien spaceship.
And ever since that time, all these things have happened.
See, the wackier you make it sound, the more unbelievable it will be. And then when they find out the price, if it's reasonable, they'll just buy it and take it away from you. I think that's the technique I'd use.
Well, speaking of price, should I underprice it to make it a really
definitely.
Good deal? I just want to get rid of this.
Way under.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You get the outfit. You put an ad in the paper. Don't shower. And it's no problem. You'll have this thing
and
sold.
And splash on some patchouli.
Yeah. And you'll
all
be
right.
You'll have it sold in an hour.
All right.
See you, Ellen.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, God.
I love your strategy, though. I love it.
What was that?
What? That she dresses up weird so people immediately
think she's
focus
a wacko.
On her
right.
as the problem and not the car. This poor car.
Well, isn't that what you do? Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Vietnam cheesesteak bomb, Turkey Tom, Heart of Palm, Papa Dom, Skillet Glom, Cook Like Mom, Beef Pogrom is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the patriotic meter maids, giving out red, white, and blue tickets in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1227, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our list of summer driving tips.
Check them out before your summer road trip.
I have no road trips planned this summer. I mean, I've got everything I need right here in our fair city. I got warm weather, I got iced cappuccino.
Isn't your ex-mother-in-law coming to visit in August?
How far did you say the Grand Canyon is? What is it, 2,000 miles? Get me MapQuest.
That's Car Talk's summer driving tips.
All this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Betsy Ross wonders if she could just thieve out the Massachusetts Star whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.